2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4. You've probably got it committed to memory, but I hope it'll ring in our hearts and guide us for a very long time. I hope if we're entangled, and many of you have told me, preacher, I'm dealing with entanglements. I'm snared with some things. And remember, 6 Sundays ago when we started, we said those weren't sins. This text would have been easier to preach if that affairs of this life had listed, had been a whole gross list of heinous sins. But it's just the normal day in and day out things that we're all involved in. And God said, if you're going to be a soldier in my army, you got to cut loose from these things. And I was meditating this afternoon, and I'm not sure it fits the message, so I'm just going to stick it right here, okay? So if it helps somebody, please say amen. But we somehow, you mess with this, and there's a bigger mess behind you, and you think you've got this one straightened out, and then you turn around, and there's more. Brother PJ, here's what a lot of us do. We get one leg free. Okay, y'all are feeling me on that. We get one leg free from those briars. Have you ever been in the deer woods or working and clearing some brush and property? If you get one leg free, are you free? Halfway ain't gonna do it. You can get a little band-aid on your problem and a hacksaw and a sling blade and get one leg free and go, I ain't had this much freedom in a long time. Between you, me, and the church pew, you still ain't going nowhere. If one leg's still cluttered up and held on to, so I thank you for witnessing with me on that one. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:4, no man that warreth entangleth. No man who is entangled is warring. If you're entangled, you're not in the battle. I love you. Jesus loves you. God's children love you. And I'm saying it to the preacher as well as to the pew. If we're entangled, we're not battling. You cannot do both. Okay? Go with me, please, to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. I'm going to finish a couple thoughts from this morning. And I stopped intentionally this morning where I did. And then we're going to bridge over into tonight's message. Let me tell you right up front, and I hope nobody will leave. I hope nobody will check out. I'm preaching and teaching tonight on money. Now, let me tell you why. And there'll be a verse that we're going to read here in just a second. Look in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. Point number 3 this morning was work. God's plan for your life, number 1, is to know God. Number 2 is to be fruitful, and we apply that to the family and the church. Number 3 is for you to work. Okay? Man, woman, boy, girl, young or old, God has a plan for you. Let me tell you, I love all of our seniors. Y'all know I do. I brag on you every other service, but God's got better plans. Now, if you're hurting, well, that's a different story, okay? I always step in it, okay? They told us the other day, put your foot in it, okay? And that's supposed to be a good thing. So anyway, if you're hurting, take something and get well. Put some ice on it, Brother Billy, okay? But let me tell you, if you're able-bodied, just because you're older than you used to be, God don't want you just rocking on a rocking chair on the front porch. We need you. We need you. We need your input into our lives. The Bible has a lot to say about children's children. And our children's children, those youngins that took up the offering, and some of them were up here playing instruments, I was thinking on the way to church this evening about my 5-year-old, my Sunday school teacher. Brother Cam, I have no idea why the Lord brought that to my mind other than the fact of those people made an impact on me and my family that I'll forever be grateful. But they didn't know it. I probably got on their nerves. I imagine I did. I'm sure I got on their nerves, but I'm glad they loved us in spite of me. Okay? Brother Ains, you and that family's got to go. We can't, your son, he's a thorn, okay? I'm glad they loved us and they touched us. And I hope if the Lord tarries his coming 50 years from now, one of these is standing up in a Bible-believing church saying, those people loved me and made a difference in my life. Amen. Genesis 2:15, and the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. Dress it and keep it. Dress it and keep it. Strong words. I'm not gonna go into a bunch of definitions for you. Just let me tell you something. God gave Adam and Eve a responsibility. I will tell you this one. Keep is the same one you'll find in Proverbs 4. Keep thy heart with all diligence, and keep in that context means what? Protect it. And here's that garden God gave them, and he said, protect it. I want to say to all of us daddies, God wants us protecting our garden. I want to say to us as a church, God wants us protecting our garden. That doesn't mean we throw weak ones out. No, but it does mean we're giving them some tender love and care. Okay? There's things you have to pinch off. There's leaves you have to pinch off and bugs and mites and all of that stuff. But we've got a garden and we are to protect that. God gave, I had some young people, Brother PJ, you'd know them if I called their name 25 years ago. They said there was no work before the curse. I said, you're just lazy is your problem. That didn't go over too good. There was plenty of work before. Work is not a curse. Work is good for you. Work is good for me. There's not a one of, even if you got a lazy streak, and most of us have one that will hopefully we've learned how to crucify, even if you've got one, there's not a person in here, Brother Youngblood, that doesn't feel the satisfaction of a job well done at the end of the day. Amen. And let's teach our children that. Say amen. I'm going to tell you again, I ran into somebody this week. It happens to me every week. I ran into somebody this week. They're in an employment situation. They're in the business world. And they say, we can't find anybody that will show up. We'll schedule interviews and they won't come. I heard homeowners tell me all the time, sometimes a contractor will get the job because they're the first one who showed up. And they had three people that were supposed to be there and they wouldn't come. Now, if you can get a job just for showing up, even if your work's just mediocre at best, just show up. And if we'll teach our young people some work habits, they'll be running this show in about 30 years because the rest of them ain't going to pass a drug test. Now, I'm going to keep telling the ones who can't pass a drug test, I'm going to keep telling them about Jesus and what He can do in their life. But God has given us a wonderful opportunity to raise some Shadrachs, Meshach, and Abednegoes and Daniels. Amen. Don't let your family tell you how to raise your kids. I'm not being mean, ugly, rude, or disrespectful, but half of them's lost theirs. And if you try to raise yours for Jesus, they're going to be Sister Budinsky. And Sister Budinsky needs to Budowski. Raise them for Jesus and you'll be glad you did. Raise them for Jesus, you'll be glad you did. Ephesians 4:28. You young people, all you young ones that can hear me and understand what I'm saying, look at me. Children, teenagers, all of you look up here at my handsome face and muscular physique. There's Morgan. Caleb, look at me. Don't do like your mama and avoid eye contact with the preacher. Okay? There we go. Zeph, look at the preacher. Okay? If your mom and daddy's trying to teach you a work ethic, get on board and cooperate with them. If they've given you chores that have to be done before you can do something fun, no whining, no stomping, no fits. Who said that? Was that Cash? Amen, Cash. Sometimes you say amen because you need it and you think you can throw everybody off. Is that? That's what mom and daddy are sending messages to me right now. They're like, preacher, don't fall for that. Y'all ain't going to believe this, but it's the truth. With my hand up, I'd lay my hand on a stack of Bibles. Okay, you didn't throw fits at the house I grew up in. You might have thrown one and then they threw one. And theirs would scare the devil out of you. I need a witness. Brother Youngblood, help me. These young families, they've been reading too many books instead of the Bible. You don't have to abuse. Just say, oh, no, we don't do that. You can cover a lot of ground saying we don't do that here. I use that at the Christian school all the time. We don't do that here. I had rebels. They thought they were big and bad from the west side of Greenville, and they was going to run the show, and I'd say, we don't do that here. And they'd go, we don't? No, we don't do that here. Yes, sir. And I was going, score. I need some help. Ephesians, are y'all there? 4:28. Let him that stole steal no more. If you're young and steal something from the five and dime, you need to make him take it back. They'll learn a valuable lesson. It'll embarrass him. He didn't mean to. Yes, he meant to. He's got demons in him. He was born speaking lies. He meant to. And if you don't get it out of him at four, you're going to have a mess on your hands at 14. You're going to be going to juvie. And you get, preacher, where'd we go wrong? That went over like a lead balloon. Let him that stole steal no more. Rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have more toys than anybody in the church, that he may have to give. Everybody say, have to give. You've never heard me preach against your toys. I may think I need it and you think it's a toy. Preacher, you don't need that, okay? Have them, but not at the expense of what God wants you given. Not at the expense of what God wants you given. And don't be trying to outdo each other. That's the dumbest thing you've ever done. You try to keep up with people that don't even like you and impress them. And they don't know or care. How do I know that? They're focused on themselves just like we're focused on ourselves. My point is, that's why we labor. That's why we labor, is that we can have to give. I have had, again, I've encouraged you when the Lord lets you stand up and brag on Him publicly. A few have, not many. That's okay. That's between you and God about this one issue. We have lots of good testimonies. My point is, I've encouraged you. Some of you have come to me privately and said, preacher, I have got to tell you what God did. Okay, so many of you have learned and are learning that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And if God's put it heavy on you, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. That's between you and God. I will say one more time, if you can do it in a way that glorifies Him and not yourself, it'll encourage your brother. It'll encourage your brother, just like a testimony can encourage you to pray more specifically, bragging on God and how He's opened up the windows of heaven. And hey, we don't need to dissect and analyze each other's testimony. Well, I'm gonna do, no. This ain't English class. We're not diagramming. It's not biology. We're not dissecting, okay? Rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with them that weep. If their spirit's wrong, guess what? The sweet Holy Ghost that lives inside can nudge them and break a rib every now and then and say, you don't need to be doing that. Okay, you have in order to give. Proverbs 14:23. Proverbs 14:23. In all labor there is profit. If you like that, say amen. But if the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Penury means poverty. I don't take stock tips from broke people. Talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. I can tell you how you can make $1 million. No, I saw you rattling into church. You ain't telling me how to make $1 million. Somebody help me. I don't look that. Rattle. I've rattled the church. Those were some good days. I'm glad they're over, hallelujah, but they were some good days. Y'all ain't never been poor. Y'all looking at me like a bunch of hoity-toities. I've rattled my way into church trying to dodge lawyers and wreckers. Okay, I understand that, but I didn't run around, I didn't stand up in the men's prayer room and give financial advice either. In all labor there is profit. Learn how to work. Learn how to work. Well, so-and-so was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. You might be surprised. You might be, but you understand what I'm saying? You might be surprised. Amen. All that was introduction. Luke 16:10. Luke 16:10. I've been thinking about entanglement. I think I'm right here. I believe I'm right. I think I've known more people. Preacher Ains, help me. You were my pastor for 36 years, believe I've known more people entangled with money than immorality. I believe it's ruined more families, more individuals, more ministries. And I'm going to tell you something. I told you a while ago there's many false spirits in the world. You better run everything you hear in a church from me, on the radio, online, YouTube, podcast, you name it. You better run everything you hear through your Bible and see what stands. And all I'm going to say is this, and I'm going to say it briefly, but it packs a punch. I have heard some really dumb financial advice from men supposedly of God. Illustration number one. A preacher that I knew well, spiritually speaking, it would be safe to say we grew up together. Spiritually speaking. He was preaching a meeting or at a camp meeting one. And some of his friends, their churches had new vans. Shiny. New car smell. You can buy new car smell at the auto parts store. Some of his friends had new church vans, all lettered pretty. And supposedly there was a dealer in the church that could give you a great deal. There's no such thing. And so he took the church's building fund. They were meeting in a storefront. And he took the church's building fund and bought a new van and came back and showed the church their new van that their money that they'd given toward a building fund had just purchased. Now let me tell you, and he pulled the man of God card. Tarzan, I'm the man of God. He pulled that card on him. Let me tell you what that's called in the business world. Breach of trust. Breach of trust, and you go to jail. Sometimes for a very long time. You understand what I'm saying? If you give something and it says building fund, we're going to build something. We're going to build. We'll put an outhouse. We'll put a greenhouse. We'll put a wart on the side of the building. You can't abuse people's confidence that they've put in you. You can't do that. It's wrong. And I'm just saying, and independent, fundamental, separated, King James, shouting, you name it, every little checklist that we'd ever want. And he did that, and he justified it under, I'm the man of God, and this is what God told me to do. No, it wasn't. Your buddies had one, and you wanted one, and it's wrong. It's wrong. Okay? So I'm just telling you, run everything I say tonight, meditate, make notes, write on the bulletin, write on a tithing envelope. That's those little envelopes up in here where we give back to the Lord. Write some notes on a tithing envelope. Go home, look up every verse I read and say, Lord, does it mean what the preacher said it meant? You want and say, preacher, I need to ask you something. Is that really what that meant? I was looking at it, and I've got a question about that. You say, that'll offend you. You'll get defensive. Oh, no, I'll shout. If I thought you went home and thought about the message, I'd be the happiest man on the planet. You're not going to offend me. Are you in Luke 16? Luke 16, verse 10. He that is... Okay, the text is money. He that is faithful in that which is least. You know what he's calling least, Brother John? Money. Is faithful in that which is much. And he that's unjust in the least is unjust in much. Why would I preach about money? If God can't trust you with money, he's not going to trust you with a ministry. If God can't trust you with money, he's not going to trust you with a Sunday school class. If God can't trust you with money, I don't know if I said it right the last time. If God can't trust you with money, young men, why would he give you a spouse? You're not marrying one of mine. Well, preacher, I don't want him to be an old maid. You'll be supporting him and her. And all them youngins. Because those deadbeats, they ain't make some babies. Am I right? I'm not being crude. A man, but Seth, I'm not trying to impress y'all. A better man than me, good man, heart for God, faithful as the day is long, raising a whole passel that he ought not to have to be raising. I'll leave it at that. You understand me? And he didn't condone it at the start. He's stepping up to the plate today. Everybody, you understand me? So that's why, Jared, I will stand on a holiday weekend and preach on money. I want our young men to be financially astute. I want our young ladies to be financially astute. The Proverbs 31 woman had it going on. Husband, if your wife's got more financial sense than you, listen. Help me, Morris. The rest of them's glaring at me. They're perched on the pew like a hen-pecked rooster. Scared. Honey, can I say amen? Let him say amen. Listen to me. If your wife's got more financial sense than you, now, woman, ladies, women, you need to be sweet how you communicate that. But if you've got more financial sense than him, sir, you'd do well to let her help you.
Well, I'm the man. I need another hunting rifle.
I like hunting rifles. But she may have a better, she may know whether or not we, I know one man, and I'm not making these up. I know one man, he'd buy everything he wanted, come home, lay the payment book on his wife's table and say, take care of that. She worked 80 to 100 hours a week paying for his toys. Sorry. Low down. Wicked. Lost. Holy Ghost won't let a saved man do that. Well, it's how I was raised. Get over your raising. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. The message for tonight is financial foundations. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down and when thou risest up. Bind them for a sign upon thy hand, frontlets between thine eyes. That's a cultural thing that we don't get. There's application for us, certainly, but I want to focus on 7, 6, and 7. Look at 9, you'll get this, even though it's still cultural. Write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Ladies, if you're glad for Hobby Lobby, say amen. Son, you can fulfill Deuteronomy 6:9 better today than you've ever been able to. My daddy had a handwritten, daddy read that, he got saved and he read that verse and he got a piece of paper and wrote, I am the door, by me if any man enter in he shall be saved, and put it right over our front door. Well, that's silly. Got in my head and heart. Had a little rotary phone. They have those in museums, children. Had that little centerpiece in the middle. He pried open the plastic and wrote on a little circle piece of paper. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Every time you went to the phone, you know how long it took to dial a number? The 10 minutes you were standing there dialing a number, you was watching. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You reckon it's any, is it a surprise God got a hold of me about 6.5? I had verses all over. I was afraid to not get, I was afraid to die lost, not call on Jesus. Amen. Point number one, first things first. The next 3 chapters tell them how to live. And a whole lot of it has to do with finances. But Elijah, before he ever got to that, he said, you be teaching these children the oracles of God. Daddy, I love you. I love every man in here. I'm proud of you. You're my men. I appreciate you. I pray for you. Brother King, we got to be telling these children about living for Jesus. We got to be teaching them, Brother Fred, the things of God. Did you see verse number 7? When you get up, when you go to bed, when you walk by the way, put it on your doorpost. In other words, living for Jesus, the things of God, the oracles of God, are the most natural part of your life. Is talking about the things of God strange to your children? I know who everybody in here, for the, I think, I know everybody in here's favorite team. you know mine. Right? For the life of me, I don't think there's a thing wrong with that in its place. Can it get out of its place? Yes, sir. I don't mind him knowing my favorite team. I don't mind him knowing who I pull for. I don't mind you knowing that. But I hope 10 million times greater than that, they know that I love Jesus. I wouldn't embarrass you. I wouldn't stand one of these kids up and say, what's the most important thing in your daddy's life? That's not my place. You know that. But daddy, could I? Could I? Well, it will become the first thing in my life when God blesses me with children. No, if it ain't now, it won't be then. Girls, you're not going to make him spiritual. Young men, you're not going to make her spiritual. Well, she's the prettiest thing I ever seen. Take her picture and look at it. But don't you be courting her. You'll weep bitter tears. I got friends, closer than blood friends, whose lives are in a mess. Brother Morris, I left early. I just wanted to meditate and pray and listen to some Bible and just get my heart in tune for tonight. And my mind went to one of my friends, Chris. Their home's a wreck. Cam, I don't mean they're out of church. If all they were was out of church, that would be halfway good, Aaron. Calling 911 in the middle of the night because of overdoses. Scars, heartaches, fights, bare-knuckled junk. I sat with them, Seth. We traveled together. We bunked together. We went to meetings together. We had prayer meetings together. And they wouldn't take care of their vineyard. One of them, godly people, went to my friend and said, you better pray a little extra before you marry her. Better pray. Might want to skip a meal or two and get a hold of God and make sure this is of God. He bowed up, said, she's the prettiest girl in fundamentalism. I'm marrying her. I had some godly people come to me, not when I was courting her. Somebody else said, everything that looks like it's gold ain't. Turned around and walked off. I was dumb and I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. And I said, I know that woman, and I know her prayer life, and I know her walk with God. And if she don't have peace about this, and if she has enough concern for me to come and give me a warning sign, I better step back, go take a cold shower, and get over them there hot flashes. And check my heart. Now, I ain't trying to be funny, but it might sound funny. Can you imagine me with anybody other than her sitting on that pew? Can we say nightmare? We're one. Now, there's things we're as different as night and day. And it makes life real interesting. Doug and Chris are synonymous. You understand what I'm saying? That's who God had for me. And I'm glad somebody cared enough to walk up to me and say, everything that glitters ain't gold. Daddies, God forbid if daddy's out of the home. Mama, God forbid if daddy and mama are carnal as billy goats. You young people, first things first, Connor. I love you. Proud of you. Proud of you. Salute you if you get saluted. First things first. Well, I won't be a Marine. You'd probably be a good one. I wouldn't expect anything less. First things first. Seeking after God. Say it with me. Seek ye the kingdom of God. Then all these other things will be added unto you. Well, I want a career. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I want a wife. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I want a church. I want a ministry. Seek you first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. First things first. Would you say first things first? Deuteronomy 6:10. It shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware. 11. Houses full of good things. Look at your preacher. I've said it 100 times in the last 6 Sundays. I'm not against things. You can have things. Don't let things have you. Don't let things have you. Preacher, how do I know? The Lord's blessed me. My family. I was born in a gated community. I can't hide all the money I've got. Say amen, John. Preacher, I'm just blessed, and you know, I don't know. I mean, I give to missions, I build churches in Myanmar, and I'm going to take on the missionary to Japan. That was your cue to say amen. Preacher, but I still got nice things. How do I know if they've got me or I've got them? Can you live without them? Can I live without them? If you enjoy it, and at the end of the day you say, it's just money. It's just a house. It's just a house. If that's you, listen to the preacher. You've got them. They don't have you. I hadn't said this now in 6 Sundays. I hadn't said this, but I've been meditating on all weekend. Some of the most generous people I know, Brother Fred, are people of means. They've got the money. They just give. You reckon, Slim? There's any correlation between that generosity and them there being blessed and having to give? Having to give. Does that ring a bell? Ephesians 4:23. Have to give. Some of the most generous people I know are people of means. Well, preachers, they've got it to give. No. I'm not talking about the amounts. I'm talking about their willingness to step up and give. God, listen to me. God's not impressed with our amounts. Where did he prove that? Somebody tell me. Widow's mite. She gave all she had. See, I've known people, they had it. They had it. But they wanted to impress you with their whatever. Yeah, write the check. They wanted to impress you. There's a Father up above. He wasn't impressed. And some of the stingiest people I've ever known were poor. And they stayed that way because they never, if God lets me get over this hump, I'll start giving. No, you start giving and God will yank you over that hump. Give and it shall be given. Not it shall be given and then you give. Okay? Point number two. You ready? Point number two, verse 10. Let's go to 11. You in your house that you didn't build. You eating from a vineyard you didn't plant. You're eating and you're full. Look at 12. Where? Point number two, beware of blessings. Point number one, first things first. Point number two, beware of blessings. Oh, I've said, Lord, don't let me forget you. You say, preacher, I'm so poor. That point's for somebody else. No, it's for you. If you're eking out an existence on $15,000 a year, a $5,000 a year raise would be a 33% raise, and you'd think you'd died and gone to heaven, and you're more prone to forget God going from 15 to 20 than the person who's bringing in 150. You don't have to be rich to forget God. You can be eking out and just paycheck to paycheck, love offering to love offering, you name it, just getting by, and God open up the windows. Sometimes He'll do that to see how we handle it. So number two is beware of blessings. What do you have to beware of? Look at the verse. Look at verse number 12. Forget the Lord. Not in a trial. Not in a storm. When the hand of God is just throwing it on you. Somebody said it this way. A hog, their neck, they can't look up. And they said they'll eat acorns all day, never look up to see the tree that it came from. Now, that's a crude illustration. How many times do we enjoy His blessings, and we won't stop for 30 blessed seconds and say, thank you, Lord. Number two, beware of blessings. Chapter 6, verse 20. When thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean these testimonies, these statutes, these judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Daddy, why do we live the way we live? Daddy, why don't everybody else is going? Everybody else is taking their clothes off. Do you understand how weird that is? Time out. Everybody else is naked, so I'm going to be? That sounds like Woodstock. Y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. That's sick. We live in a world where everybody takes their clothes off. So if you're going to go through Walmart pointing at them and snickering and telling your children loud enough to be heard, they don't know Jesus or they'd keep their clothes on. You're not going to be a witness that way. But tell your children why you keep your clothes on. That ain't hard. Daddy, why don't... This is where they're having the get-together. This is where they're having the party. Son, we're going to do this that day. We're going to do this that day. You know what I'd do? I'd fill it in. I'd give them something 10 times better. Okay, that's what I'd do. Verse 21. Oh, this touches my heart. Here's the answer, church. Here's the answer when they ask you that. Son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen. Did that help anybody right there? You're not raising your kids the way you was raised. Your family ain't going to like it. They're going to attack you. And here's your answer. Mama, you don't know the shape we were in 6 years ago. I need a witness there, church. Oh, Mama, you don't know the shape we were in 6 years ago. We're not in bondage. We're not in a cult. Oh, Mama, you should have been at church with us Sunday. It didn't get out of the banks or nothing. But oh my, it was sweet. And the preacher had liberty and there were testimonies and the devotion and the audit. Oh, Mama, we're not in bondage. I was in bondage for the first 25, 30 years of my life. I'm not in bondage anymore. I'm living this way because I love Jesus. And that's the answer, church. We were in bondage and the Lord brought us out. Verse number 23, brought us out again. 24, the Lord commanded us all these statutes to fear the Lord our God. Start there and go all the way to the next comma and say it with me. If this don't light your fire, your wood is soaked. Say it with me. Miss Emily, help me. For our good. This is for our good. It's not a burden. It's not a yoke that I'm under. It's not, oh, I'm afraid of what the preacher will say. No, God brought me out of Egypt and everything He's taught me has been for my good. I've quoted it 100 times. Brother McNeese said it in this pulpit. Those separation, those ordinances, those principles, they have served me well. Look at your friends and family that are eat up with the world and trying to straddle two worlds because they don't want to be too different and all that. Look at them. They're not happy and they don't fit in anywhere. They don't fit in anywhere. Go all the way with Jesus. You won't have any DUIs on your record. You won't be getting your children out of... I'm not being ugly to any of our people. We're praying for each other. Y'all know we are. We love each other. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to save this generation from going there. You won't be paying for rehab. You won't be posting bond. Preacher, that hurts. I don't mean to hurt you. I want to rescue these. I want them loving Jesus. Does that mean preach? I have no idea. That's God's department. He'll tell us who He wants preaching. I just want them to know Jesus and love Him and serve Him and live for Him and raise a family for Him. It can be here or it can be in Japan. I really don't care. I want Jesus to do it. Number three, pilot, P-I-L-O-T, pilot by principle. You're not always going to see it. It's not always going to add up. It's not always going to mesh with what your head's telling you. And I promise you this, youngins will push those limits. The vast majority that I've ever talked to, the kids have told me this. I've had way more time with kids than adults, and I think y'all can figure that out, okay? They've told me I pushed, and in my heart of hearts, I was really hoping my parents would stand. Brother Rains, you just don't know mine. That's not what he's wanting me to do. Well, A, you do it because it's right. But B, they're professional actors and actresses. They could put Hollywood out of business. And they're master manipulators. And they're demon possessed. And they came forth from the womb speaking lies. And do all of you know that I love you? Is that clear from what I just said? Okay, just making sure. I love you enough to tell you the truth. Connor went to cadet camp this week. He said, "Preacher, one day we all had to do extra PT, physical training, because one girl, she didn't have any business being there." Say amen. He said one girl in the squadron rolled her eyes at the instructor. If I heard that you rolled your eyes at an instructor, your mommy and daddy would have to tell me, "Preacher, we'll handle it." Because I would be coming in to handle it. No eye rolling. No. If you got something to say, stand up and say it. But we ain't rolling. No eye rolling. No Christian cussing. Take the garbage out. I need a witness. No stomping. No door slamming. No, you know what I'd do if you slammed a door at my house? I'd take the door off. Well, you didn't take it off the bathroom, try me. There's lots of countries in this world that don't have doors on the bathrooms. Well, what do? That's for you to figure out. You go at 3 a.m. No eye rolling. Everybody, all you youngins say no eye rolling. No fit stomping. Fit stomping. You're throwing a fit. You won't roll in the floor, but you okay? No fit stomping. And no door cussing. You say, "Oh, he wouldn't cuss. He would if he knew the words." Amen. Okay, everybody, all right. Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. If you young people appreciate a preacher telling you the truth, say amen. I mean, I'll keep you out of jail. Jesus is the only one to keep you out of hell. But if you'll listen to me, I'll keep you out of jail. And if you'll keep coming, the Holy Ghost will be able to get a hold of you and save you and keep you out of hell. Deuteronomy 8, verse 11. "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God and not keeping His commandments." 12. "Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, you've built goodly houses and dwelt therein. When thy herds and thy flocks multiply." 14. "Your heart be lifted up." 15. "He led you through the wilderness." 16. "He fed thee in the wilderness." 17. "But you're going to say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth." Is the movie Shenandoah? The old Civil War movie, Shenandoah. I don't watch anything unless it's 100 years old. The mama says, "Aren't you going to pray?" And the dad looks at her and goes, "Lord, I worked for it. I planted it. I hoed it. I harvested it. But to keep her happy, I'll say thank you. Eat, boys." You better thank God you got two legs that can walk behind that mule. You better thank God we've got enough sense to know how to walk out of the house, go to the barn, get a bag of feed and seed, and walk to the garden, poke a broom handle or a finger or a hoe handle, and drop a little something down in there. And you better thank God that He alone let it come up. Because you can do your part, and if God don't let it come up, you're not getting anything. So instead of saying, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be thanking you for, I did all the work, you better thank Him for it. I was at American Federal, 1987. We left on a Friday. Had a controller. She was sharp. She's sharp. She had it going on. But she had a good spirit about her. She's just likable. Friday. I was 25, she's probably 35. Her career path was going places. Brother PJ, she left on Friday. Monday morning, we got back to work. And they said, did you hear about? Called her name. And they said, she's in a wreck over the weekend. And it wasn't really all that bad. But she hit her head just a certain way. And her mind is like that of a child. And they don't think she'll ever recover. And when I left there, she never had. So you might have an IQ of 140. And you might have multiple businesses that you're running. And your career may be going places. If you make it home tonight, it'll be the mercy and grace of God. And that's not preacher talk. That's life talk. It may not affect us mentally. Every one of us could be debilitated physically to the point where the medical bills bankrupted us. It's happened to better people than me and you. Every one of us ought to be on our face before God, thanking Him. I love the song. We hadn't sung it in a few years. Eyes that can see, ears that can hear, hands that can raise. You let a brain bleed start tonight about midnight, and you won't know your right hand from your left. The first several years after that song came out, when they got to that verse, Stacy would just weep. And she'd say, there was a time I didn't know how to lift my hand. I'm so glad He let me lift my hand. Beware lest you forget God. Verse 18. Remember the Lord thy God. Look at this last line. Men, this ought to anchor you for the rest of your life. It is He that giveth thee the power to get wealth. Psalm 62, and I'm done. 62:10. Trust not in oppression. Become not vain in robbery. We're not dealing with that. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Have your riches increased? Thank God. Bless Him. Don't set your heart on it. Set your affections, that'd be your heart, on things above, not on things on the earth.